You said that our conscience should be both clear and clean. So let us call on our circuit overseer, Brother Troop, to further apprise us of this. His topic? Clean from the blood of all men. How so? You have our attention, Brother Troop.
In a discussion the Apostle Paul had with the congregation elders from Ephesus, he explained two important aspects or truths about his life. One, that he was clean from the blood of all men. And two, that there's more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. Now, as dedicated servants to Jehovah, we too want to concern ourselves with being clean from the blood of all men. So we do well to examine the Apostle Paul and how he applied this principle in his life. Let's take our Bibles. We'll turn to Acts chapter 20. And we invite you to place your Bible markers there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. We'll almost spend our entire discussion, actually, in the 20th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 reads, "Nevertheless, I do not make my soul of any account as dear to me, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received of the Lord Jesus to bear thorough witness to the good news of the undeserved kindness of God." Now, first of all, this expression, my soul, if you have a reference Bible, you'll notice that in the footnotes, it says, or life. So Paul was saying that I do not make my life on account as dear to me. So what was he referring to here? Well, the fact that his literal personal life, his personal desires, his preferences, these were not the concern or foremost concern in his life. His goal was to be completely devoted to doing Jehovah's will. And what else? Verse 24, bearing thorough witness to the good news. Now, it was that desire that led the Apostle Paul to make the expression in verse 26. That's our theme text for our discussion. "Hence I call you to witness this very day that I'm clean from the blood of all men." So how could Paul make this expression? Because these elders in Ephesus, they knew full well that he had viciously persecuted the Christian congregation prior to his conversion. It's the book of Acts that tells us that he stood by and condoned the stoning of Stephen. So how could Paul turn around now and say, "I'm clean from the blood of all men"? Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "Faithful and deserving of full acceptance is the saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I'm foremost. Nevertheless, the reason why I was shown mercy was that by means of me, as the foremost case, Christ Jesus might demonstrate all his long-suffering for a sample of those who are going to rest their faith on him for everlasting life." So in verse 15, to begin with, the Apostle Paul identifies Christ came into the world for what purpose? To save sinners. And you notice what he next says? "Of these, I'm foremost." So Paul acknowledges, "I am a sinful man." In fact, in verse 16, he goes on to explain that I'm the foremost case. I'm probably the best example of a sinful man. But for what reason? That Christ Jesus could demonstrate his long-suffering towards him. Paul understood the redeeming value of Christ's shed blood. He recognized that if he placed faith in Christ's ransom provision, that he could have a clean conscience. And so this was what motivated him to carry out his ministry. That love and appreciation for what Jehovah had done by providing that ransom, even after the life that Paul had led, that was the motivating force for Paul to carry out his ministry, appreciation for the ransom. And it's no different for us today, brothers and sisters. That love and appreciation, that's the driving force behind why we go in the ministry. Because notice what it caused Paul to do. Let's turn back now to Acts chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 19. Because Paul understood that people's lives were at stake, they needed to come to an understanding. Notice what this caused him to do in verse 19 of chapter 20 in Acts. Slaving for the Lord with the greatest lowliness of mind and tears and trials that befell me by the plots of the Jews. Paul slaved in his ministry. By viewing people the same way that Christ Jesus did, showing that love for them, he demonstrated an appreciation for the ransom's provision that was above and beyond someone who did not fully grasp what had actually been done for them. So now let's look at two ways that the Apostle Paul carried out his ministry with both zeal and devotion. First was how Paul carried out the ministry without prejudice. Look at verse 21 of Acts 20. But I thoroughly bore witness both to Jews and to Greeks about repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. So if a person had a pulse, Paul was witnessing to them. That's basically what it boiled down to. In fact, look at verse 20. Paul goes on to say, while I did not hold back from telling you any of the things that were profitable. Now notice, nor from teaching you publicly and from house to house. So we know that our house-to-house ministry, it has always been a staple for true Christians. But what else did Paul engage in when it came to witnessing to people? He said, I taught you publicly. So Paul saw the value of not simply being one-dimensional by only going door-to-door. When people weren't home, he went outdoors. He went to where people were. Now, in Paul's time, that would have involved synagogues and marketplaces. But he saw the value of searching people out to where they were. And what a great example for us in not simply being one-dimensional in our ministry when it comes to finding people. Now, one other thing about Paul's life is we know he supported himself financially by being a tent maker. But there's also a reason why, although Paul wasn't preaching every single minute of every single day, he did go to work. We don't see in the scriptures that Paul got consumed with developing a highly successful chain of tent-making stores and really striking it big. See, Paul understood how to keep work in its proper place. Work was to support his ministry. Now, the second way that the Apostle Paul carried out his ministry with zeal and devotion was how he did Jehovah's will. Now, he was a single man, so obviously he had more time to devote to Jehovah than what a man who was married or somebody who had children. But the lesson we can all learn from the Apostle Paul is, what did he do with that time? Let's look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 18. When they got to him, he said to them, you well know how from the first day that I stepped into the district of Asia, I was with you the whole time. How much of the time? Whole time. See, Paul saw the value of associating with brothers and sisters and being with them. He wasn't off doing his own thing. Or sending the brothers here and then I'm going here. He spent time with the brothers because it provided a living example that others could imitate as to how to do Jehovah's will. Now notice in verse 27, Paul also says, for I have not held back from telling you all the counsel of God. You notice? All the counsel. And we know that. Paul didn't water the truth down. He didn't sidestep delicate issues just because it might have involved maybe some uncomfortable situations or confrontation. And brothers and sisters, that is a beautiful example for us to imitate in order to be clean from the blood of all men We can never water the truth down either. It involves at times, especially with Bible studies, addressing delicate issues. Cleanliness of their homes, their marital state, how they're raising their children. And these can be delicate and challenging issues to address, but we never want to water down Jehovah's standards. And we also want to teach our students and those coming into the truth the deeper things as well. Now, in this round, we've been discussing at our service groups the value of making use of the appendix in the back of our Bible teach book. Those are scriptural truths that we want to teach our Bible student. We want to have expectations of ones we study with, attending meetings, making changes in their lives, and also preparing in advance for their Bible study. Now, look at verse 23. Paul says, except that from city to city, the Holy Spirit repeatedly bears witness to me that it says that bonds and tribulations are waiting for me. So we see also that the Apostle Paul was not afraid to endure tribulation or persecution. So all of these aspects of his life help us to understand that he was completely devoted to the doing of Jehovah's will and fulfilling his ministry to the best of his ability. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I have a clean conscience, I am clean from the blood of all men. Now, do you recall at the outset of our discussion, we mentioned that there were two truths about the Apostle Paul's life. The Apostle Paul also talked with those elders in Ephesus about where happiness came from. See, Paul imitated Jehovah's generosity and how he gave to the brothers and sisters. So now let's look at a couple of verses here. First of all, verse 33, and we'll learn some points from other aspects of Paul's life here. Acts 20, verse 33, he says, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Now, Ephesus was known for its wealth, and it stands to reason that there would have been ones that would have came into the Christian congregation that perhaps had a considerable amount of means. But that wasn't an issue for Paul. As he says, I haven't coveted any man's silver or gold. In fact, notice verse 34. He says, you yourself know that these hands have attended to the needs of me and those with me. So even if ones did have the means to support Paul in his ministry, Paul wasn't looking for a free ride. He was willing to set the example in how to care for himself, even in a physical way. But now that leads us to verse 35. He says, I have exhibited to you in all things that by thus laboring, you must assist those who are weak and must bear in mind the words of the Lord Jesus when he himself said, there is more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. So where does true happiness come from? Giving. Now, that's not to say that we don't derive joy when someone gives us a nice gift, or even when we buy something nice for ourselves. But there is more happiness when we give to others. And the Apostle Paul, he lived his life by that principle. And the brothers and sisters in Ephesus, they knew this. Look at verse 31. Therefore, keep awake and bear in mind that for 3 years, night and day, I did not quit admonishing each one with tears. Night and day. Those brothers and sisters, they knew that they didn't come second best. They didn't get the scraps of the Apostle Paul's time when it came to the interest that he had in their lives. And what a beautiful example that sets for us as congregation elders in helping our brothers and sisters in our prospective congregations to realize that they come first in our lives. We should not give the impression that they'll get the leftover time from work or anything else that we have going on in our personal lives. Because the Apostle Paul, he made them feel that they were the priority in his life. But now look at verse 32, the balance Paul has. He says, and now I commit you to God and to the word of his undeserved kindness, which word can build you up and give you the inheritance among all the sanctified ones. So Paul knew how to balance looking after what he had been entrusted and fulfilling his assignment, but then what did he do? He committed the congregation to God. They were under his possession. So friends, there is much to learn from the Apostle Paul's example when it comes to his entire life course. You think of this example that we've just read in verse 32, how Paul said, I commit you to God. You see how we could apply this even to trusting that Jehovah knows when our ministry is completed? Because it's so easy for us, especially in this part of the world, to develop a viewpoint that, well, there's no more interest in our territory. Our territory has been worked for years. No one else is coming into the truth. But that viewpoint can affect how we carry out the ministry. But when we imitate Paul's view, then we don't simply go out in service to count time. We go out in service and we make our time count because we put our hearts into it. So what are some of the ways that you and I can demonstrate being clean from the blood of all men? An example of the Apostle Paul. Well, preparation in our ministry, that's a big one. And the beauty of our family worship night is that we can take just 10 or 15 minutes at the beginning or at the end of our family worship and go through and practice with each other our presentation for the month so that we feel confident, we feel good when we go out in the ministry. You know, friends, we've all shown up at a service arrangement and said, I have no idea what I'm saying. We've all done it. But is that a regular occurrence or is an exception? That's the point. Do I hold a personal territory? If we're a dedicated servant of Jehovah, we should hold a personal territory in trying to reach as many as we can. When I place literature, do I write down who it was I contacted, their address, their information, their name, what it was that I placed with them, and perhaps a question as to what I can follow up on? And again, preparing for return visits, we can take our family worship again, 5 or 10 minutes, practice, and make sure that we're comfortable in going back with something meaningful. All of these areas can truly enrich our ministry. But again, we can step out of the ministry and think of, are there other ways that we look to speak to others in our workplace, at school, perhaps to worldly relatives, people that we can seize the opportunity and give a thorough witness to. Now, we're going to look in on a reenactment of an experience that took place in our circuit. And the interesting thing about this reenactment is our sister was on her way home from service. The day was done, and you know, sometimes we can be guilty when we're driving. We're just like one of those city buses that has the sign up top, not in service. That's, you know, because we're done. But here's a man walking down the street, and our sister feels the need to pull over and talk to him. Let's see what happens.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a volunteer in the area, promoting the Bible as a source of comfort and hope for people today. How do you feel about the Bible? Do you think it has value for us today?
Absolutely. I love the Bible.
So nice to find someone that has appreciation for spiritual things. My name is Leslie. What's your name?
My name is Bull.
Bull, it's nice to meet you. You know, many people wonder why there's so much suffering in the world today, and a lot of people even think that God is responsible. But the thought I was showing people shows actually who's behind the problems in the world today. Notice what 1 John 5 and 19 says. It says, we know we originate with God, but the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. So did you notice who's actually in control of the world?
Well, the scripture says the wicked one, that's Satan the devil, right?
That's right, exactly. So that's one of the reasons the world has so many troubles today. And along with that, I wanted to show you this interesting article we have, Who Really Rules the World? It shows how we know Satan is in control right now, and soon a time when God is going to step in and change things for the better. I know you'll really enjoy reading it.
Thanks. By the way, is there a center that you meet at?
Yes, actually there is. I have an invitation with me to one of our meetings. The address is there on the bottom. We meet twice a week, and those are the times. It's free to attend. There's no collections ever taken. It's open to the public, so you're more than welcome to attend.
Excellent. Thank you.
And you know, the other thing we offer, Bull, is a free home Bible study program, which means someone can come to your home at a time that's convenient to you and help you understand the Bible better. Is that something that appeals to you?
You know, I just moved here and I'm not really settled in yet, so no, I don't think I would be.
Okay, I understand. I put my contact information on the top of the invitation, so if you have any questions or if you change your mind about that study, give me a call and I can set something up for you right away.
Sure, thanks.
So would you like to know what happened next? So the next day, he contacted our sister. On the telephone, he said the magazines that she left him were inspiring. He wanted to further the discussion. So she took her husband back. A Bible study was started with him that Saturday. He was turned over to the congregation that he's living in their territory. He attended the memorial. He's continuing to study, and now several of his friends have also accepted Bible studies because of him. Do we see the benefit of taking advantage of opportunities when they arise? But now, let's be real. Not every time is that going to happen when we put ourselves out and we go above and beyond. But we have a clean conscience before Jehovah that we're doing all we can to fulfill our commission to preach. Now, what about when it comes to reporting field service time? How can we hold a good conscience when it comes to counting our service time? You know, probably two of the most dangerous things that we can say at the end of a morning is, so how much time did we get? And the only thing more dangerous than that is usually stating, isn't that nice? We got 2.5 hours today. And everyone in the car looks at you. So how do we hold a good conscience? Well, when it comes to counting field service, our Organized to Do Jehovah's Will publication, page 86 and 87, outlines the guidelines as to how to count our time. And we do well to review this, regardless of how long we've been in the truth. But now let's say we all go home and we review page 86, 87. Does that mean we're all going to count our time the exact same way now? No, it doesn't, because each of us will approach this subject perhaps differently from others. You know, friends, this counting time can be a real sensitive issue. If we lose perspective of the fact that the time that we count between us and Jehovah, that's just it, it's between us and Jehovah, but so is everyone else's. See, the governing body, they do not impose their conscience on the worldwide congregation, and so neither should we. We have our guidelines stated in our OD book, and then we allow our conscience to decide what we feel we can give to Jehovah. So Paul's example of how to serve Jehovah was a powerful influence on that congregation in Ephesus, because they had a living example to look at to see how to serve Jehovah whole-souled. And you congregation elders and your prospective congregations, that's exactly what you are in a position to do, brothers. Provide a living example of how to serve Jehovah whole-souled. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, what the Apostle Paul said to the elders there. Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers to shepherd the congregation of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own Son. Now, brothers, you all know the difference between a shepherd and a cowboy, right? We know the difference. The cowboy stands behind the herd, cracks the whip, makes lots of noise, and pushes the herd out. Whereas a shepherd, he just steps out in front, says a couple of words, and the sheep just naturally follow. You congregation elders and your wives, we appreciate the hard work and the example that you're setting in each of your congregations, because the formula never changes. Strong, active elders produce strong, active congregations. It's been that way since the beginning of the first century congregation. So, our review question. Our question is, how is it possible to be clean from the blood of all men? The answer, this is possible if we are completely devoted to doing Jehovah's will and do our best to fulfill our ministry. Friends, hold the course. Stay loyal to the cause that Jehovah has given you and I to fulfill, of caring for the ministry. If we do that, just as the Apostle Paul said, we too will be able to see with a clean conscience, I am clean from the blood of all men.
Thank you, Brother Troop. May we then be free from the blood of all men by following that scriptural counsel.